Chapter 3. You must say to them this word. Paragraph 1. Question A. How were Jesus and Jeremiah similar? Question B. Why should we imitate Jeremiah in our ministry? Jesus Christ is the chief model whom we follow in preaching the good news. It is noteworthy, though, that people in the first century who observed Jesus sometimes thought of the prophet Jeremiah. As was true of Jesus, Jeremiah received a divine command to preach. For example, on one occasion, God told him, "You must say to them this word. This is what Jehovah has said." Jeremiah 13:12-13. And in his ministry, Jeremiah displayed qualities similar to those of Jesus. Paragraph 2. Question. How are the needs of people today similar to those of the Jews in Jeremiah's time? However, some witnesses might say, our preaching work is different from that of Jeremiah. He was God's spokesman to a nation that was dedicated to him, while most of those to whom we preach do not know Jehovah. That is true. But by Jeremiah's time, most Jews had become unwise and had left the true God. Jeremiah 5:20-22 reads, "Tell this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, Hear now this, O unwise people that is without heart. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Do you not fear even me, is the utterance of Jehovah? Or are you in no severe pains even because of me, who have set the sand as the boundary for the sea? An indefinitely lasting regulation that it cannot pass over? Although its waves toss themselves, still they cannot prevail, and although they do become boisterous, still they cannot pass over it." They needed to change to worship Jehovah acceptably. Similarly, people today, whether claiming to be Christian or not, need to learn to fear Jehovah and pursue true worship. Let us see how we can serve the true God and help people by imitating Jeremiah. Jehovah touched my mouth. Paragraph 3. Question. What meaningful gesture did God make toward Jeremiah at the beginning of his work, and how did the prophet feel about it? Recall that at the start of his prophetic ministry, Jeremiah heard these words, "To all those to whom I shall send you, you should go. And everything that I shall command you, you should speak. Do not be afraid because of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you," is the utterance of Jehovah. Jeremiah 1:7-8. And then God made an unexpected gesture. Jeremiah tells us, "Jehovah thrust his hand out and caused it to touch my mouth. Then Jehovah said to me, 'Here I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have commissioned you this day." Jeremiah 1:9-10. From then on, Jeremiah knew that he spoke for Almighty God. With his full support, Jeremiah's zeal for sacred service grew. The footnote reads, as in this case, Jehovah often had angelic messengers present themselves as though he were speaking. End of footnote. Paragraph 4. Question. What examples of outstanding zeal in preaching can you relate? Jehovah does not physically touch any of his servants today. Yet, through his Spirit, he does give them a strong desire to preach the good news. Many of them glow with zeal. Take the case of Maruja in Spain. For over 40 years, her arms and legs have been paralyzed. Preaching from door to door is difficult for her, so she finds other ways to be active in the ministry. One way is by writing letters. Maruja dictates the words to her daughter, who writes them down. During a month-long campaign, Maruja and her secretary sent out over 150 letters, enclosing a copy of a tract in each envelope. Through their efforts, the good news reached most of the homes in a nearby village. Maruja commented to her daughter, "If one of our letters gets into the hands of a person with an upright heart, Jehovah will bless us with a Bible study." A local elder writes, "I thank Jehovah for sisters like Maruja, who teach others to value what is really important." Paragraph 5. Question A. How did Jeremiah maintain his zeal in the face of apathy? Question B. How can you maintain your zeal for preaching the good news? In Jeremiah's time, most of Jerusalem's inhabitants took no delight in God's truth. Did the prophet stop preaching because so many were apathetic about the message? On the contrary, Jeremiah said, "With the rage of Jehovah I have become full. I have become weary with holding in." Jeremiah 6, 10 and 11. How can you maintain zeal like that? One way is to meditate on the incomparable privilege you have of representing the true God. You know that prominent ones in this world have reproached the name of the true God. Think too of how religious leaders have deceived the people of your territory, even as the priests did in Jeremiah's day. Jeremiah 2:8 reads, "The priests themselves did not say, 'Where is Jehovah?' And the very ones handling the law did not know me. And the shepherds themselves transgressed against me, and even the prophets prophesied by Baal, and after those who could bring no benefit they walked." Verses 26 and 27 read, "As with the shame of a thief when he is found out, so those of the house of Israel have felt shame, they, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets. They are saying to a tree, 'You are my father,' and to a stone, 'You yourself brought me to birth.' But to me they have turned the back of the neck and not the face. And in the time of their calamity they will say, 'Do rise up and save us.'" In contrast, the good news of God's kingdom that you declare is really an expression of God's favor toward humanity. Yes, reflecting on such truth can help you maintain your zeal for declaring the good news and helping sheep-like ones. Paragraph 6. Question. Jeremiah faced what daunting challenges? You will likely agree that maintaining zeal in the Christian ministry is not always easy. As he served Jehovah, Jeremiah too met with serious challenges, including false prophets. You can read of one instance in Jeremiah chapter 28. Most of the people paid no heed to his message, and sometimes he felt rather isolated. Moreover, on occasion he had to cope with enemies who threatened his life. Question for review. Why can you trust Jehovah to help you overcome challenges as you preach the good news? You have fooled me, O Jehovah. Paragraphs 7 and 8. Question. In what beneficial way did God fool Jeremiah? During one period when Jeremiah faced mockery and insults day after day, he expressed his feelings to God. In what sense, do you think, can you say that Jehovah fooled his faithful prophet, as mentioned at Jeremiah 20, 7 and 8? Jeremiah 20, 7 and 8 reads, "You have fooled me, O Jehovah, so that I was fooled. You used your strength against me, so that you prevailed. I became an object of laughter all day long. Everyone is holding me in derision. For as often as I speak, I cry out. Violence and despoiling are what I call out. For the word of Jehovah became for me a cause for reproach and for jeering all day long." Jehovah had definitely not tricked or deceived Jeremiah by using some crafty, underhanded scheme against him. Rather, God fooled his prophet in a positive, beneficial sense. Jeremiah felt that the opposition was too great, that by himself he could no longer fulfill his God-given assignment. But fulfill it he did, with the Almighty's support and help. Hence, you might say that Jehovah overpowered him, proving far stronger than Jeremiah and his human inclinations. When this man of God thought that he had reached his limit and could not keep going, Jehovah exercised a persuasive force so that Jeremiah was fooled, as it were. God proved stronger than the prophet's weaknesses. Even in the face of apathy, rejection, and violence, Jeremiah was able to continue to preach. Paragraph 9. Question. Why can you take courage from the words of Jeremiah 20:11? Jehovah proved to be like a terrible mighty one alongside Jeremiah, supporting him. Jeremiah 20:11. And God can strengthen you too, so that you keep your zeal for true worship and carry on despite major problems. You might think of it as it is expressed in another translation, Jehovah will be a mighty soldier standing at your side. Contemporary English Version. Paragraph 10, question. What are you determined to do when facing opposition? The Apostle Paul underscored that point when encouraging Christians who faced opposition. He wrote, "Behave in a manner worthy of the good news about the Christ, in order that I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one soul, striving side by side for the faith of the good news, and in no respect being frightened by your opponents." Philippians 1:27-28. As did Jeremiah and Christians in the first century, you can and should lean on Almighty God as you carry out your ministry. If some people deride or attack you, remember that Jehovah is at your side and can fill you with power. He did so for Jeremiah and has done so for many of your brothers. Hence, he can do so for you. Supplicate him for help and trust that he will respond to your prayer. You too may find that you are fooled as God gives you strength to face obstacles successfully, with boldness instead of fear. Yes, you may do far more than you ever thought possible. Acts 4:29-31 reads, "And now, Jehovah, give attention to their threats, and grant your slaves to keep speaking your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing, and while signs and portents occur through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had made supplication, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were one and all filled with the Holy Spirit and were speaking the word of God with boldness. Paragraphs 11 and 12. Question A. What adjustments might you make in order to speak with more people in your ministry? Question B. What local possibilities does the photograph on page 39 of the printed edition of this publication suggest? What we read of Jeremiah's service can help us in various ways to be more effective ministers of the good news. After he had served as Jehovah's prophet for over 20 years, he was able to say, "I kept speaking to you people, rising up early and speaking, but you did not listen." Jeremiah 25:3. Yes, he got an early start rather than a late one. Can we learn something practical from his example? In many congregations, there are publishers who rise early to speak with people at bus stops and train stations. In rural areas, many witnesses use the early hours of the day to visit farmers and others who are active at that time. Can you think of other ways that you personally can apply this lesson from Jeremiah's faithful ministry? What about getting up sufficiently early to be present right at the start of a scheduled meeting for field service? Moreover, preaching from door to door in the afternoon and evening often produces excellent results in many localities. Some publishers even preach at night, visiting workers at gas stations, restaurants, and other businesses that are open 24 hours a day. Can you adjust your schedule so that you can preach when you are most likely to find people at home or elsewhere? Question for review. Why do you feel confident that Jehovah is backing you as you proclaim his message? Paragraphs 13 and 14. Question A. How does Jeremiah's example relate to making return visits? Question B. What illustrates your need to be dependable about making return visits? On occasion, Jehovah commanded Jeremiah to announce prophetic messages while standing in the gates of the temple or of Jerusalem. By making such declarations at the gates, Jeremiah reached large numbers of people with Jehovah's word. And since many, including prominent men of the city, merchants, and businessmen, used the same gate habitually, he may have spoken to some people repeatedly in an effort to help them understand what they had previously heard. What can we learn from this about making return visits on those who have shown interest? Jeremiah knew that lives depended on his work as God's prophet. Once, when he could not carry out divine instructions to speak with the people, he sent his friend Barak in his place. Jeremiah 36:5-8 reads, Then Jeremiah commanded Barak, saying, I am shut up. I am unable to enter into the house of Jehovah. And you yourself must enter in and read aloud from the roll that you have written at my mouth the words of Jehovah in the ears of the people at the house of Jehovah in the day of fast. And also in the ears of all Judah who are coming in from their cities you should read them aloud. Perhaps their request for favor will fall before Jehovah, and they will return, each one from his bad way, for great is the anger and the rage that Jehovah has spoken against this people. And Barak, the son of Neriah, proceeded to do according to all that Jeremiah the prophet had commanded him, to read aloud from the book the words of Jehovah at the house of Jehovah. How can we imitate Jeremiah in this? When we tell a householder that we will return, do we keep our word? If we cannot keep an appointment for a return visit or a home Bible study, do we arrange for a substitute? Jesus said, "Let your word yes mean yes." Matthew 5:37. Keeping our word is essential, for we represent the God of truth and order. Paragraphs 15 and 16. Question A. How have many followed Jeremiah's example in expanding their ministry? Question B. What lesson do you see in the experience from Chile, depicted on page 40 of the printed edition of this publication? Jeremiah encouraged the Jews in Babylon by writing them a letter about Jehovah's good word of restoration. Today, the good word of what Jehovah will soon do can also be effectively spread by letter and telephone. Could you use those methods to help your relatives or others who are in faraway places or who are difficult to contact? By following Jeremiah's example of fully accomplishing his ministry, Kingdom publishers today often obtain positive results. A witness in Chile approached a woman exiting a subway station. She was thrilled to hear the Bible's message and agreed to a Bible discussion at her home. The witness, however, did not write down the woman's address. Afterward, realizing the importance of cultivating the woman's interest in the truth, our sister prayed to Jehovah for help. The next day, she returned to the subway station at the same hour. She met the woman again. This time, she took care to write down her address and later visited the woman at her home to help her understand the scriptures. God's judgments are soon to overtake Satan's world. But there is hope for those who repent and put faith in the good news. Lamentations 3:31 through 33 reads, "For not to time indefinite will Jehovah keep on casting off. For although he has caused grief, he will also certainly show mercy according to the abundance of his loving kindness. For not out of his own heart has he afflicted, or does he grieve the sons of men?" Hence, let us reflect that fact by conscientiously working our territory. Perhaps they will listen and return, each one. Paragraph 17. Question. In your territory, how can you imitate Jeremiah's approach? Jehovah did not want people to lose their lives. Some 10 years before Jerusalem's destruction, he used Jeremiah to outline a hope for those exiled in Babylon. We read, "I will set my eye upon them in a good way, and I shall certainly cause them to return to this land, and I will build them up, and I shall not tear down, and I will plant them, and I shall not uproot." Jeremiah 24:6. Jeremiah could say to such ones, "There exists a hope for your future." Jeremiah 31:17. Jeremiah made God's view of people his own. He carried out his ministry with genuine concern, conveying Jehovah's urgings, "Turn back, please, each one from his bad way, and make your dealings good." Jeremiah 35:15. Can you think of additional ways to show deep personal interest in people in your territory? Paragraphs 18 and 19. Question A. What view must we reject as we preach the good news? Question B. What attitude of Jeremiah should we make our own? Jeremiah's deep love for the people never cooled off. At Jerusalem's destruction, he continued to feel compassion for them. Lamentations 2:11 reads, "My eyes have come to their end in sheer tears. My intestines are in a ferment. My liver has been poured out to the very earth on account of the crash of the daughter of my people. Because of the fainting away of child and suckling in the public squares of the town. The Jews had themselves to blame for their disaster. Jeremiah, however, did not say, "I told you so." Rather, he felt great sadness for what had overtaken them. Similarly, our ministry must not become perfunctory, done only out of obligation. Our efforts at giving a witness should prove how much we love our wonderful God, as well as people who are created in His image. No privilege or position in this world can surpass that of witnessing on behalf of the true God. Jeremiah felt that way, writing, "Your words were found, and I proceeded to eat them, and your word becomes to me the exaltation and the rejoicing of my heart. For your name has been called upon me, O Jehovah." Jeremiah 15:16. As we preach the good news, many more may come to know and love the one to whom they owe their lives. By serving with zeal and love, as exemplified by Jeremiah, we will contribute to that end. Question for review. Given Jeremiah's example, what additional ways to spread Jehovah's good word might you try in the future?